This year has been dedicated L'chavad Zecharia v'Shoshana Westreich v'Yelidei Beisam. Yehi Ratzon sheyizku l'Torah u'l'hatzlacha v'nachas l'orech yomim mishanim tovim v'noyim.
The following shiur has been presented by Rav Yehoshua Grunwald, Dayan at the Beis Havad of Lakewood, New Jersey, and has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center.
Chulin Daf Tes Vav. The Gemara in Chulin Daf Tes Vav Amid Aleph towards the top of the Amud brings down the Mishnah Mesechta Shabbos that says as follows. It's Mishnah Mesechta Gittin, actually. Hamevashel b'Shabbos. It's in Bava Kame, it's in Gittin, it's in Shabbos, it's many places. Hamevashel b'Shabbos b'shoigi yoichal b'meizel lo yoichal. If somebody cooks on Shabbos by mistake, they could eat it, they could benefit from it. If they did it on purpose, they cannot eat it. Which means, in other words, that according to Rabbi Meir, if it was cooked on Shabbos, somebody violated Shabbos, and cooked on Shabbos, something somebody is not allowed to do. So b'shoigag, if it's a mistake, whether anyone else is allowed to eat it on Shabbos itself, right then and there. If somebody cooked purposely, violated Shabbos, they know it's Shabbos, and they violated Shabbos anyways, then they cannot eat it until after Shabbos. Until after Shabbos, not he, not anyone else could eat it that day. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Rabbi Yehuda says, b'shoigig yoichal b'motzoi Shabbos. If it was done b'shoigig, then nobody could eat it until Motzoi Shabbos, not him, not anybody else. If it's purpose, it was done on purpose, then nobody could eat it forever. There's a third opinion, and he says, if it was mistake, there's even more machmir. He says, if it was a mistake, then other people can eat him Motzei Shabbos, but he himself can't eat it forever. If it's purposely, then nobody can eat it forever. So we have over here, in this Mishnah quoted, three opinions about the halacha called Maisa Shabbos. What is the halacha as far as using, benefiting from work that was done on Shabbos in violation of Shabbos? I would like to devote this Shir Be'ezah Hashem to discuss this halacha from a practical sense. The Rishonim have a machloikis had a paskin. Most Rishonim, that is the Rif, the Rambam, and others, paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. And they say that it's, Rabbi Yehuda says that if it's done by mistake, we have to wait until after Shabbos. Everybody has to wait till after Shabbos. If it was done on purpose, then nobody could benefit from it forever. Tosfos is of the opinion that we paskin like Rabbi Meir. Tosfos follows the opinion of Rabbi Meir, which is the most kuludika opinion, and that is that if it was a mistake, we could eat it right then and there on Shabbos. And on purpose, we just have to wait till after Shabbos, and then everyone could eat it. The Shulchan Aruch paskins, like the Rif and the Rambam, is that if it's done b'shoigig, it certainly cannot be used on Shabbos. And even if it was b'shoigig, it cannot be eaten on Shabbos. we have to wait till after Shabbos. And if it was done on purpose, we have to, it's also forever. Nobody could use it forever. The Vilna Goyin, though, follows the opinion of Tosis, and he haskins like Reb Meir, that b'shoyge could be eaten right then and there, and b'mezid, it's mutter to be eaten Matzah Shabbos. So the Mishnah Berurah says, simply we would follow the halacha like the Shulchan Aruch, like what Shulchan Aruch says. We do take into account the opinion of the Vilna Goyin, and the Mishnah Berurah says that if it's a shas hadchak, if there's a tzoyrich, if there's a good need for it, and it was done by shoygig, it was done by mistake, one could rely on the Vilna Goyin and use it right then in the Iran Shabbos. So in essence, the main halacha follows that one, that if it's b'mezid, and the Mishnah Berurah goes, even incorporating, even taking into account the cheshbon, the opinion of the Goyin, by mezid, the Mishnah Berurah does not take into account, and therefore, if it was done b'mezid, one could never benefit from that thing. If a yid cooked on Shabbos a potato, an egg, nobody, no yid, will ever be able to eat that egg or potato. When it happened, because the Shulchan Aruch follows the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, that says it's also forever, for anybody and forever. If it was done by shoygig, if it was done by mistake, so the Shulchan Aruch paskins, like Rabbi Yehuda, that it's also on Shabbos, we have to wait till after Shabbos. We can't eat the potato or the egg on Shabbos that was cooked. But we could eat it after Shabbos. And the Vilna Goyin says one could eat it right then and here. And the Mishnah Berurah says if there's a tzayrech, one could, if it was a mistake, and it was a shoygig, if it was a mistake, and it's a tzayrech, then one could eat it right then and there. One could rely on the Goyin and eat it right then and there. So therefore, if egg was cooked by mistake on Shabbos, somebody woke up one Shabbos morning, they forgot that it's Shabbos, they were thinking it's Sunday, and they cooked an egg, and it turned out that they really, 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 really needed that egg, they could use that egg, because b'makim tzayrich we rely on the Goyin, that paskins like a man. Now, it's important to understand these halachas have many different applications. If someone thinks about this, there you can realize that there's many applications, all different types of cases, different scenarios that one can wonder about what the halacha is, and I would like to mention them over here in this year. The simple case of shoygig is that somebody, like we said, he woke up one morning, he thought it was Sunday, and really it was Shabbos, and he cooked an egg. If somebody got a psak from a poisik, that it's mutter, and it turned out the poisik regretted, and the person misunderstood the poisik, or the poisik made a mistake, but the bottom line is they were doing what they did based on what they thought was a psak of a poisik, that would also be included in shoygig and would have the same halacha. What happens if somebody did not realize that they're doing a melacha? They thought they're doing one thing, but in essence they were really doing something else. They were standing against the wall, and they didn't realize that behind them was a switch, and they're leaning on the wall, really turned on the light. Are they allowed now to benefit from the light that's in the room? So that would be a misasik, and this machlokes ha'poskim, how to paskin in such a case. If Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says it would be mutter to benefit right then and there. However, the Negyomtiv says it's aser. Here it's more cow than a shoygeg, because here they didn't even realize that they were doing a malacha. By shoygeg, they realized they're cooking an egg, because they thought that it wasn't Shabbos, or they thought that it's permissible. Here, they didn't even realize they're turning on a light. So here it's a mechloikis. If somebody walked into a room, and their reflex subconsciously flipped on the light because they're just so used to turning on the light the second they walk in the room without even thinking. Now they want to know if they could benefit from that light that's there in the room. So Rabbi Eliashiv Zatzal says that such a thing is categorized as a shoygig, and they cannot benefit from that light. What happens if a katan, a minor, someone under bar mitzvah, went and did a melacha? A katan turned on the light. So if the katan, did it for themselves, so then a gadol can certainly benefit. However, if they did it for a gadol, for an adult, so then it's prohibited to benefit from it on Shabbos. And even after Shabbos, we have to wait until the amount of time that it takes to do that melacha. The reason being that until now, the entire discussion we had until here discussed the halacha of Ma'isa Shabbos. So far what we discussed was involving Ma'isa Shabbos, which is, in other words, if a Yid did melacha, violated Shabbos and did a melacha on Shabbos, did something on Shabbos that's prohibited to be done. There's a whole nother set of halachas, which is beyond the scope of today's shiur, where a goy did melacha for a yid on Shabbos. Where somebody who's not commanded on Shabbos did a melacha for a yid on Shabbos. Such as, if a goy cooked a food for a yid on Shabbos, suppose there was no Isser Bishul Akim involved, and a goy cooked a food for a yid on Shabbos. So that has a whole other set of halachas. There is a halacha of Kedei Sheyaseh, that it's also to benefit from it on Shabbos. And even after Shabbos, you have to wait until the amount of time it would take for the yid to do it. The reason for that is there is a few sheets in the Rishayim, whatever it is. Here, in our case, that a minor, a katan, did the malacha, it's comparable to that case of where a goy did the malacha. And therefore, we have to wait until after Shabbos, the amount of time that it would take for a yid to do the malacha. If a yid did a malacha on Shabbos, and he's a mumar, he knows about Shabbos, he's a frayid, he just doesn't keep Shabbos. So, kipshutoi, that it would be a mazid. That would be a regular mazid, and would be also for any yid to benefit from it forever. Do we say that it's a halach of tinoik shenishba? What happens if the goy, if this yid, Sfrai yid, he grew up not knowing anything about Shabbos, so do I say that perhaps he's a shoygig? If we would be able to classify him like a shoygig, then for sure it would be mutter after Shabbos, and b'makom tzayrich it would be mutter even on Shabbos. But in this shiur we won't give a classification of when we can say the Artino Kshenishba and when not. One should ask their local Pesach and in case-to-case basis whether the Frayid that did the Malacha, if they were a Shaygig, if they can be considered a Shaygig or not. if somebody, until now we discussed, if a yid did a malacha de ayraisa, what if a yid did a malacha de rabbonon? When it comes to doing a malacha de rabbonon, even though we said that according to halacha, according to mechaber, according to Shulchan Aruch, if a yid did a malacha de ayraisa and Shabbos, nobody could benefit from that malacha forever. Nevertheless, the Rambam, although he's one of those that have this opinion, nevertheless, he says that if it's a dirabbanon, if the Yid violated an Issa dirabbanon, bemazed purposely, it is permitted to benefit from it right away after Shabbos. When a Yid did a malacha dirabbanon by mistake, then we have a machlekes two days. Although we said that if a yid did a malacha de rabbanon, it's possibly mutter on Shabbos, that would be for most the rabbanons, with the exception of the rabbanons of shehiyah, chazara, and atmana. The isurim de rabbanon that apply to cooking, of putting leaving something on the stove, or putting something for the first time on the stove, it was cooked already, or atmana preserving, those cases are more chamer and have their own set of halachas and are beyond the scope of this year. Now there's another interesting point to bring up, and that is that even though we said the let's say if a yid was an avarian, a yid went and cooked on Shabbos, they cooked an egg, and we said if they did it be mazid, it's prohibited to benefit, to use it, to eat that egg forever. So that, what does that mean? That means the only aser people to eat that egg, no yid will ever be able to eat that egg. However, it's not aser behano. It's not aser to benefit from it. In other words, a goy could eat the egg, and we can give that egg to a goy, and we can sell that egg to a goy. What's aser is that we can't eat that egg. Another interesting halacha, which is very important, and that is, here we talked about if somebody cooked. Now this halacha, as was mentioned, and now we'll speak it out more clearly, the halacha is not limited to cooking on Shabbos. It applies to all Isurim of Shabbos, all malachas of Shabbos. And the issue is that sometimes it's not as easy, the application of this halacha, when said by other malachas of Shabbos, will have to change. Let me explain. If somebody cooked an egg, bemazed purposely, so we said, you can no longer eat that egg. No yid could ever eat that egg. Because the benefit of the malacha of cooking the egg was to eat the egg. That's the benefit from that malacha. When it comes to planting, if somebody planted a tree, we're not allowed to plant on Shabbos. When it comes to planting a tree, if someone planted a tree, be mazed, we say that not only, what are we going to say to do? Now the tree is growing on its own. Later on, it grew fruits on its own. There, the halacha is that they have to uproot the whole tree after Shabbos. According to the Tosfos Yom Tov, it's because, really we would say it by cooking as well. Really, we would say that if somebody cooks on Shabbos, b'mezid, we would tell him to undo the cooking, reverse the cooking. Since it's impossible to reverse the cooking, so we say that just don't eat it, don't benefit from it, don't eat don't benefit from that, that you cooked it, you can't, which we said doesn't mean you can't benefit, totally it means that you can't eat it. But where it's possible to reverse what was done on Shabbos, then Chazal were mechayiv want to reverse what was done on Shabbos. And therefore, if the tree was planted on Shabbos, b'mezid, they would have to uproot the tree. Kipshutoi, even if it was done b'shoigeg, one is mechayiv to uproot the tree. Just like the way we paskin. Like Rabbi Yehuda, that even if it's done b'shoigeg, there's an issa of Ma'aseh Shabbos. So usually Ma'aseh Shabbos says, if it's pertaining to eating, so I say don't eat it on Shabbos. But when it comes to uprooting, you can't uproot it on Shabbos. It would be, and it's a one-time thing to uproot it. There's no differentiation really between uprooting on Shabbos or uprooting after Shabbos. And therefore, according to Rabbi Yehuda, kipshuto, even b'shoigeg, and this is what many Paiskim say, and this is what should be done, l'chatchilat certainly, that even if somebody planted b'shoigeg on Shabbos, they would have to uproot it, not as withhold from benefiting. Now, if it was only planted b'shoigeg, and it's a makom tzairich, then one would be able to be mako, that they wouldn't have to uproot it. Very possibly this could apply to somebody that planted, let's say, on chalamoid. Chalamoid you're not allowed to plant, unless it would fit into the heterim of chalamoid, which usually you won't. So if somebody went and planted vegetables, or aravis, or something else on chalamoid, so there it's dependent if it's an issur d'oraisa or an issur d'rabbanan planting a chalamoid. If we would classify it as an issur d'oraisa, we would be mechayiv him to uproot what he planted, even though he planted it b'shoigeg, unless there was a big tzairach. If we would classify it as a d'rabbanan, so then, likely, we would not be mechayiv him to uproot it if he only planted it b'shoigeg. Another 2 points that are worth noting is that this halacha ma'aseh Shabbos could apply to any halacha, like we said, and sometimes it's an interesting application. For example, one is, if somebody carried something from one rishus to another rishus, if someone carried from rishus haram to rishus hayochid, which would be a deraisa, usually we don't have such an example. We say, generally speaking, our rishus harabims are only a carmelis. Most rishus harabims, at least, are only a carmelis, not a real rishus harabim. So these would only be a derabonon, so then it would have those halachas, like we said earlier about the derabonons. But if it would be a real rishus harabim to a real rishus hayochid, or carrying four amos in Rishus HaRabim, they would not be able to benefit from that they carried it from one place to another. Even if it is the Rabbanon, let's say only from a Carmelist to Rishus HaYochid, but even by the Rabbanon, on Shabbos it's prohibited if it was done. If it was done, b'mezid. Another interesting application is if somebody went out and they did boirer, they chose, they took out the bad from the good instead of the good from the bad. That is considered that they fixed up the food, and therefore I would say if somebody did boirer on a food by mistake on Shabbos, I would say that the food is aser to be eaten until after Shabbos. The Malkum Tzayrich, again, we would be able to be Mekel. Now, Some Paiskim speak out that if the person that did the Boyer was not the owner of the food, then passively I would say one can discuss this with their Paisik, but there are those that want to say, entertain a tzad, that, well, a person can't, and in other words, a dovah sheni shaloi, a person can't ask for something that's not theirs. So therefore, pertaining to other people in the family, if let's say one person, let's say there's a one child in the house that went and they did boyer when they were preparing a certain food. So since they don't have the power to ask for food that's not theirs, I would say that the remaining, everyone else in the family would be able to benefit from that food, despite the fact that this person did boirer with the food to perfect and to improve the food. If it would happen, one should contact their local Paisik and ask for a final ruling on this case.
The Daf Yomi Halacha series has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. To reach the center for halacha consultation, service, educational seminars, or media, please call 1-888-485-VAAD. That's 1-888-485-8223. To sign up to the BHHJ, the Beis Havad's weekly interactive e-journal, please visit www.bhhj.org, or you can email us at office@thehalachacenter.org.